Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, heroes of all ages, I proudly present to you, this is your truly, the black man, Coco Keywell, from the family leader, K-State, the people's band. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Your boy got himself a special show just a little bit before Survivor Series comes on. And I call it the Mega Power Hour. Blake, to my immediate left, is the hardest man in online radio and all things wrestling and entertainment, brother Montez L. And on my immediate right, it's a special comeback, baby. He's been waiting on this for a long time. He's been far and away in the well of mischief and leprosy and nothing in particular and everything in general. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back my main man, the good brother himself, Macho Ghost. Welcome back, Daddy. It's been a long time coming.
Oh, yeah! Brother Coco! Yeah, Mr. Martez! The Macho Ghost is back from the etherical plane here on the airwaves and the space waves and the brainwaves with the Mega Power Hour getting ready for Survivor Series. Coco, I survived in the vacuum of space all these months. Thanks for pulling me back in.
Oh, you know what, brother? It was my pleasure. This is a dream of a dream come true, Daddy. This has been in the making and the works for the wild, good wild people. And I'm so happy. I mean, boy, if it wasn't for the airway, we'd be shaking hands right now, make a power style. You know what I'm saying? When the black man and the ghost come together, all kind of fireworks and action and mystery and knowledge and spoilers. All of it come together, and it's a good time, Daddy. So I'm so glad it's here. And do I hear good brother Montez L., the hottest working man in all of online radio and business in between?
Yes, I
am here. He was one of the two men.
I don't know about that. I do got a question for both of you all. How did I get a ticket to Planet Coco and Macho? I just want to – how did I get a ticket to Planet Coco and Macho? I just want to know that, because
well,
I feel like I was deserved to be.
Coco and I are crazy for the most part. And, you know, a long time ago, they revoked our space and time pilot's licenses. So we need someone to pilot this podcast starship into the stratosphere and the black holes that the black man's going to create with this incisive comet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And, hey. You bring the sanity to all this insanity, Brother Montez. So you just understand, you are needed, you are loved, and you are wanted, and you help keep this ship all together, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that too.
Hey.
That being, oh, go ahead, continue on, Brother Ghost.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't want to interrupt you. I was going to say, this is like that commercial. Remember that old commercial where anything you can do, I can do better? It's like Michael Jordan and Mia Hamm, the soccer player. And
yeah.
Coco and I, we
oh,
do
yeah.
everything awesome the same way. He's like Michael Jordan and I'm like Mia Hamm. Yeah, and I don't know, Martez is, I don't know, he's like Larry Bird or something. Huh?
See, you took the words right out of my mouth, Brother Ghost. See, we were meant to do this together, Daddy, because I was going to say good old Larry Legend, because my good brother, Montez, when he shoots, he don't miss, and he's always clutch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, this was meant to be.
Listen.
This was lining up and written in the stars a long time ago. So with that being said, fellas, let's get it on with the agenda. The first things first. I just want to address everybody what we're here for and why we're here and what we're all about, Daddy. So this show is called the Mega Power Hour, and it's kind of like a one-off limited type series deal, you know what I'm saying? See, what's going to transpire with the show? You're not going to necessarily hear it on a weekly basis unless the people just demand for it, beat down Brother Montez's doorstep, rip his door off his car, and say, hey, we need this show on a weekly basis, and we won't rest until we get it. But until then...
Yeah, make sure they're first before Martez, make sure they're not carjacking you. Then if they start talking about the show, then listen to them.
Absolutely, deal. Correct. See, he brings good clarity here. So with that being said, this show is based around the big four of the WWE, of the four major pay-per-views, that being WrestleMania, SummerSlam, the Royal Rumble, and of course, the one that we're going to be talking about today, the subject, the topic of discussion, Survivor Series, baby. Because, you know, we're well on our way. This is kind of like some would argue that this is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania in next year, April. So, with all that being said, y'all, are we looking forward to tonight's Survivor Series? What you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I'm going to let now I got to do full disclosure here. You guys know I'm here to enjoy the show and participate. You know I'm not the biggest WWE fan in the world anymore, but I'm going to have a good time. But you know who is the biggest WWE fan in the world? That's Martez. So I'm going to let Martez go first because Martez went, once again, Martez, I believe he's at a daycare taking care of children, which is weird for a Sunday evening, but he may be called away at any time, so I'll let him go first, you know, changing diapers and stuff.
Well, actually, goes. I'm not doing that job today. I'll be back doing that job tomorrow, but I am at this concession stand that I helped run through the winter season, the holiday season. But I may have to run off.
At the roller skating rink that happens to be covered with ice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got it right, Macho. Now, in terms of tonight, this is what I'm looking forward to, guys. I'm looking forward, like, the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch matchup. Whether it's a work or not, there's been a lot of talk about those two not getting along behind the scenes. There's been a lot of talk about those two not being friends anymore. So I want to see how that, quote-unquote, real beef would translate in the ring tonight. So that's what I'm looking for, that matchup. I think it's going to be a good matchup, but I want to see if there's going to be a few botches or some haymakers, some legit haymakers thrown in that match. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And secondly, I feel like there's going to be a surprise, okay? I feel like, I'm just going to say it, I feel like we can see The Rock tonight. Now, The Rock is saying that he has no plans of returning anytime soon, but They have a battle royal to kick off the show that's in honor of The Rock. So I'm of the belief that he's going to show up tonight. So those two things I'm looking forward to tonight, guys.
Now, I know it's a 25-person dual-branded pay-per-view. I thought it was odd that it's 25, which is an odd number considering there's two shows involved. Coco, you think The Rock might be in this battle royal?
Well, how about this? Here's what I was going to say with regard to The Rock. See, here's what I'm thinking. The black man has been thinking and pondering and meditating on this scenario. See, everybody thinks he's going to show up to face Roman Reigns or confront Roman Reigns. I got a plot twist. In the midst of all that wrestling and fighting between the Tribal Chief and Big E, I think The Rock is going to run down that ring. You're going to hear that music blast. The crowd is going to pop like they never popped before. And he's going to step face to face with Roman Reigns. All in the turnaround and hit Big E with a rock bottom and then finish him off with the people's elbow. Put Roman Reigns over him. Hit 1, 2, 3. And then the bloodline, it's just going to get even bigger. It's going to be a four-man power trip in my opinionation. But, hey, I could be wrong. None of that could happen, but it'll still be a heck of a match.
Man, oh man, oh man! I don't know what to say about that. That's twisting the dial of the Rock there. I don't know. Maybe The Rock will come in, but maybe they'll hold off The Rock till the Royal Rumble, if that is actually going to be the case. The Rock versus Roman Reigns for WrestleMania, what people have been predicting for years. But forget about that. That's two shows away. This is the Survivor Series. Martez, what do you got to say?
Oh man. I have nothing else to say, but I'm excited for tonight. That's all I can say. Big E versus Roman Reigns, that's a heavyweight matchup that I think we all can get around. What else? You got the Shinsuke Nakamura versus Damian Priest. I'm looking forward to that match. Those two guys been able to deliver their match. I think it is, they're going to deliver this match at a high level if I can get my words together. But, yeah, I'm looking for everything tonight.
Man, Coco Martinez is so excited he can't even talk.
Oh, yeah. He's beside himself. He can't keep himself together. But that's Brother Martinez for you. I mean, usually he's not one to get too excited because he's got to be rooted and grounded, and he's got to keep running this ship real good. But every now and again, Brother Martinez has to learn to get a little loose like he's doing right now. So I absolutely love and adore it. Now, let me just say this. Here's what the black man is kind of looking forward to. You know what? I just noticed something. I made an interesting observation 24 hours ago that this Survivor Series kind of reminds me of a glorified version of Clash of Champions. And that's kind of flat or anything like that. That's a real good observation. Because you notice, we didn't have no Clash of Champions this year, if the black man recalls correctly. And so, because I believe all the energy that was focused on Crown Jewel, that they didn't really put a whole lot of emphasis on building up and promoting and preparation of the Survivor Series, let alone bringing back Clash of Champions. I don't recall that there was such one. Because what I would like to see, I'm going to keep my eye on the Intercontinental Champion Shinsuke Nakamura going one-on-one with the United States Champion. People used to call him Punishment Martinez. But now he's an infamous Damian Priest. That's going to be a sleeper one right there. That's probably going to be the one that steals the show, you know what I'm saying. And so that's the one I'm kind of really looking for because nobody's really talking about that one as much. I think there's something good and interesting going to come out of that. Now, moving on, because we kind of went a little out of order of the program, but that's okay because even when we're out of order, everything is still together. You know what I'm saying, brother?
It makes sense when if we're coloring, we're always outside the lines, so it kind of makes sense when
Absolutely.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Incidentally, speaking
Absolutely.
Of Punishment Martinez, I once wrestled Finisher Gomez in Mexico City. I won.
Unbelievable. See, Brother Ghost, I mean, is there not a match you didn't have in your lifetime, Daddy? That's the amazing part. That's the phenomenal part about you, Brother Ghost. I bet while you was on this hiatus, you was probably going back, revisiting and probably having rematches with all those amazing Mexico City matches, and you're probably wrestling somebody on the planet Mars, knowing you, Ghost, because you can be everywhere and anywhere at one time. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm everywhere and anywhere, and I don't know where it is any time at all. But I know I'm here, so like you said, we're getting off track, which makes perfect sense whenever Martinez and I and Coco get together, and anybody else, actually,
that's
I talk
right.
to. But Coco, you wanted to lay
that's
down
right.
the card and explain what's going on.
Well, yeah, see, we kind of laid it out pretty good already. It's kind of spread out. You know, we got the tag team champions going two-on-two against each other. You got the Usos, and then you got what's that other good tag team? Bro, that's going to be a good one. Now, I got to give a shout-out to my girl, my main sister, Sister Stacy Sparkles. Sister Stacy, if you're listening to the radio show, how you doing? And, yes, your guy, your main man, Randy Orton, is going to be doing the thing in the ring tonight. And I know you're going to be pulling for him real hard. But I think them Usos are going to have something sneaky up their sleeve. It's going to be something real troublesome. But with that being said, let's mosey on over to some times of yesteryear, y'all. Because what I'd like to hear from each of you, if Brother Martinez didn't have to step away and take care of some other business. You see, he can multitask, by the way. That's why I love my Brother Martinez. We should call him Multitask Ted. All right, enough on that. Let's go back to some Survivor Series and time past. Each of you, why don't you give your favorite Survivor Series pay-per-view, whatever year, or if you got a certain memory, or if you got a moment, something you like, or something you didn't even like. Go ahead, shoot for us real quick. How about you, Brother Ghost?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I did some research because after crossing over to the etherical plane and going from living to dead, I don't always remember everything so well. But checked out my past, yeah. And I'm saying the best moment of every Survivor Series that I was involved in is the fact that I was involved in it, yeah. If you want to take, well, if you allow me to take a little trip down memory lane, Coco, let's go back to the mists of time, all the way back to last century in the glorious 1980s, yeah. 1987,
oh,
November 26th, the very first Survivor Series. I led a team of some pretty interesting characters. Yeah, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, my good WrestleMania 3 opponent, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, some considered the greatest match of all time and the best match of that pay-per-view, but let's not get into that. And that dastardly Jake the Snake Roberts, who in just a few years later would try to have a snake eat me. We disposed of the Honky Tonk Man's team that year, and I was a survivor, just like I've always been. Because you know what, Coco, you and I and Martinez, we got the eye of the tiger.
That's right, baby, eye of the tiger, that's right. See, you're going to make me, see, I'm going to just say this real quick as a side note. Shameless plug, November 27th, ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday. K-Fade, the People's Day. We're making our world public debut, Brother Ghost, at the D's of Custer Lounge in good old New Baltimore, Michigan. And it's going to go down in Chinatown, baby, like Bad Bad Lee Work Brown. We got Mr. One Night Only, One Night Only Birthday Bash. It's going to be a wrestling show. It's going to be a burlesque dancer. You're going to have beer pong, dancing contest, karaoke, and even all in between all of that. It's going to be some good wrestling. And then the real special part is in between the intermission, you're going to have K-Fade doing our thing on the strings, Daddy. Probably playing some Eye of the Tiger. You never know. But we're going to do some good stuff, Daddy. So with that being
now,
said.
Now, this is a big deal. This is the big, kind of like almost the big, huge worldwide premiere of K-Fade the People's
yeah,
Band.
See, this is our first stop of the K-Fade World Tour. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make our way from Waterloo to Timbuktu and everything in between that. As a matter of fact, in the good old Chicagoland where you from, I'm going to need you to throw in a couple feelers to some of them promoters and tell them, hey, open up your tight wide pockets and pay this band to come and play and grace your promotion so the people can have a good time and have some more things to remember by and maybe even play some of your favorite rappers in live and in Technicolor, because that's what you need, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to do the same, baby. We're going to kick it in hard like we got on steel toe boots, or better yet, some iron sheet boots, baby, because we're going to make it humble by the time we get done with our music, you know what I'm saying? Can you dig me?
I can dig it. I dig everything. You know I can dig it. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think you need to get in touch with your good friend, Brother Stan, from, you know, experiences in the past there.
Yes,
he's got more connections than an octopus on a switchboard.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, that's, well, I be holding tentacles right there, Daddy. Oh, he deep in the sea with them connections. Oh, I'm pounding, Brother Stan, if you're listening to this show. You better call and blow up the Black Man Coco T West phone number, Daddy, because we got to do some business, even though you're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker, but you better get with me real soon, because we need to make some magic happen, Daddy. So with that being said, allow me to give my moment, one of my favorite, absolute favorite Survivor Series. Now, I got three of them that I can really choose from. I love 89. I love 90, and I love 91. But I'm going to go right there in the middle in 1990. You know what I'm saying? I mean, one, you had the gobbledygook of Baby the World debut. That was hilarious. Coming off that big old egg and didn't nobody even budge on it. Even we as kids, we were just like, oh, okay. It was a big old bird. I thought it was going to be a wrestler. I thought it was going to be the Ultimate Warrior or maybe Sting or somebody strange like that. But no, we got a big old turkey doing flips and things. That was hilarious, Brother Ghost. Maybe back then it wasn't much of a laughing matter. But
I take
that
back. That's my favorite moment in the history of Survivor Series, when that egg hatched.
Absolutely.
And that funky dancing turkey came out, which is ironically the same year that the exact polar opposite appeared in The Undertaker.
Yes, and I was going to bring that up. Great moment, The Undertaker. I remember being a young, little, black kid, Coco T. Well, you know what I'm saying? We were sitting there, eating our chicken sandwiches and our dressing that Mama T Web made. Oh, chicken butter, Brother Ghost. One day you're going to have to come to the 313 Motortown Detroit City and try some of Mama T Web's good old cooking, Daddy. It's the best.
Man.
So anyway, I digress. We sitting there in my mama's bedroom with all my cousins and them sitting in chairs and on top of the bed and on the floors and whatnot. We sitting there and we're waiting on the $1 million team or teammates. And by the way, I prefer the 14 format, by the way. That's my favorite. Anyway, when the Undertaker steps out, I love the fact that the Ryder Papa said, look at the size of that handbook. Look at the drumsticks on that guy. That's a dangerous dude. And sure enough, the Undertaker came on out, intimidating, scary. People believed him, Daddy. The crowd was silent. They ain't know what to do with him. And little trivia moment here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If someone ever asked you who was the Undertaker's first manager, please know that's a trick question, Daddy, because it wasn't Paul Bearer at first. It was Brother Love, Daddy. That's right. Good old Brother Love. He's the one that brought him in first into the WWF, into the wrestling ring. And from that point on, the rest was history, as they say, and the Undertaker did some damage. I got another moment. This one was
I
got
to say real quick, I lost a lot of money on that because the day after Survivor Series, I made a bet. Someone said, who's going to be here 30 years from now, the Undertaker and the Gobbledygooker? And I said, well, for sure the Gobbledygooker is going to be undefeated at WrestleMania in 2021. So I lost some money there.
Oh, holy Moses. Holy Moses. Boy, you took a big loss on that one, man. Y'all hear Brother Martez? You back, brother?
Brother
yeah,
Martez
I'm
is
back. I'm back for like 2 minutes.
Okay, give us one of your favorite Survivor Series moments or show, what you like or dislike, any one of them.
My favorite Survivor Series moment, it was a recent moment, and it happened probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It was the return of Bill Goldberg. When Bill Goldberg took on Brock Lesnar, we didn't know how that match was going to go. We didn't know how well or how bad he was going to do in the ring. However, in a minute and 4 seconds, he shocked the world and defeated Brock Lesnar. In a minute and 4 seconds, he defeated Brock Lesnar. I didn't think he was going to win, you know. But that was my favorite moment of all time in Survivor Series, Bill Goldberg destroying Brock Lesnar in a minute and 4 seconds. So.
That's your favorite moment? It doesn't have anything to do with me?
I'm sorry, Macho Ghost. You know you're my man. You know you're my man, but I just love that moment, you know.
I understand.
Awesome. That's all good. Yeah, we ain't gonna judge you
too high.
We ain't gonna judge you too high, Brother Montez, because we love you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, you're perfect in a lot of ways, and it may be your only flaw, but we not gonna hold that against you, are we, Brother Gold?
Here's an interesting fact before you give your next favorite there, Coco. In 1988, I had your cousin, Coco B, on my team.
Oh, my kayfabe daddy. That's my kayfabe daddy. That was awesome, was it not?
Now, I thought he was your dad, but I wasn't sure because I was looking at the paternity records before the show starts, and I wasn't clear. So I didn't want to cast aspersions on your family heritage just before Thanksgiving. But he is your actual,
right.
Your kayfabe father is Coco Beware, and you are his son, Coco T-Ware.
That's right, Daddy. That's right. My kayfabe daddy, Coco Beware. But continue on. What did you like about that? What was that memory that stuck out?
Man, Martez, first of all, I got to say, Martez, I don't know if we've ever clarified that on the air before. For years, I thought Coco was the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
That's okay. Hey, that's okay, Daddy. It's just a mere coincidence. Great minds just speaking like Daddy. That's all that is. That's all that is. And, I'm flattered by the mere fact that people think, hey, you sound like Dusty Rhodes. And I always say, hey, I must sound like a real good, mighty, wise, and amazing man. That's all that is, baby. Give me the polka dots. I'm going to make it work. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, I like it. Well, anyway, that 1988, that wasn't such a good year. Although I was a survivor there, too, I was a survivor by that one guy I'll only refer to as Double H was a survivor next to me, and he kind of ruined my life a few months after that. So let's move on, Coco.
Oh, okay, okay. We ain't gonna do. We ain't gonna hold. And how about no business? Now, dig this in. Here's another moment. WrestleMania. Excuse me. Not WrestleMania. I'm rushing it. I'm trying to go into 2022, guys. I'm so sorry. But allow me to bring up a moment that I think that will be forever ingrained in the minds of all of pro wrestling history anywhere on the globe and throughout the planet. The Montreal Screwjob. Man, no seven. That was one we will never, ever forget. I can recall being a teenage teenwear, and I was just sitting there watching with great interest Shawn Michaels, Mr. HBK, going 101 with the excellence of execution, Bret Hart. And as soon as he put on the doggone sharpshooter, wasn't even on that good. All of a sudden, you see Vince Kennedy McMahon going to the bell, man, ring the bell, ring the bell, ring the bell. And then all of a sudden, the match is over. It was confusion, bedlam, mayhem everywhere, every which way.
And then I didn't even know what was going on that night. And by at that point, nobody really knew who. Only the people who really, really knew, the smartest marks, if that's a term I can even use. I don't even know what that term means anymore. But anyway, they knew who Vince McMahon was. But on TV, Vince McMahon, who's this guy calling for the end of the match? Vince McMahon, what's going on here? Bret Hart spitting on him. Shawn Michaels runs like a JR would say, a scalded dog. Man, oh man, that was crazy. I did not like that at all. I even forgot, Coco, that was at Survivor Series. Do they celebrate Survivor Series? Do they celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada, speaking of Montreal? I don't think they do. I think it's got to be something different.
They do celebrate Thanksgiving, but theirs is in October, which is kind of unusual, but that's all good. I mean, I would love to look up the history behind their Thanksgiving, and I also know that they have Canadian football. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with that, Brother Ghost, but in their football.
Yeah, I've heard of it. They use a Nerf football.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It's a Nerf football, so it's real floating in the air, but somehow they get it across the field. I mean, they got 250-yard lines and a center line, and then the goal post is in the front of the end zone. I don't even understand that one, but okay, and they got three down. So, I mean, hey, is that world we just living in it? I just say praise the Lord, pass the poutine. And pass the Molson beer or whatever it is that they drink. I know they're real friendly people, though. So
I looked it up while you were talking. They do celebrate Thanksgiving, and they serve bacon and hockey pucks.
Oh, man. See, that sounds like a fight and a meal all in one session. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that what every Thanksgiving kind of boils down to, isn't it, Coco?
I mean, it seems like it. I mean, I can see it right now if you were with your family sitting at the table, I bet you your politics is basically wrestling, and somebody say something like, Elizabeth was finer than frog's hair, and I can see you getting hot because you mean, what do you mean by that? And I can see you flipping the table over and mashed potatoes going into Grandma Savage's head, and then the genius is coming in trying to hold you off because somebody done flirted with your ex-wife. And I know you don't play that kind of stuff. Because you have
I don't play that kind of stuff. Even though she's my wife, you still don't put your eyes on her. And let me tell you something about the genius. Lanny always took too much stuffing.
Oh, man. See, you take all the stuffing. See, the black man loves him some stuffing and dressing. You can't eat all that up. Other people want to have it, Lanny. Come on, you're the genius. You're the genius.
You got to have leftovers. You got to have leftovers.
Exactly. You can't be the dressing and stuffing eating contest winner. That don't make no sense. That's how you get into fight.
Exactly. So what you got to do is you got to, whatever you want leftovers of, you sneak over an extra portion onto the kids' table and make sure you put some saran wrap on it because kids are disgusting with germs. But you hide it over there, and no one's going to go over to the kids' table during dinner, so then you got it later and for the next couple of days.
Oh, man, I be jibbing the crickets, brother. You are how did you know all that? That's the kind of stuff I did all the time. Let me tell you. When Grandma T. Ware was alive and God rest her soul, she has been deceased now for the past 4 years to this month. But let me tell you, Brother Ghost and Brother Matez, when Grandmama would have us all over to the house, Granddaddy would be there, all my aunties and cousins and them and uncles and them would be there, and, of course, my beautiful bride, the sensational sweet Dennis. But, Grandma was world famous for her cookies, Daddy. chocolate chip. Ooh. Chocolate chip with walnut in it. Some oatmeal cookies, oatmeal raisin, oatmeal with chocolate chips, peanut butter cookies. The peanut butter cookies were flaming. My brother would kill them every chance he gets. Let me tell you what the black man would do. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas time, when grandma would make several batches of them cookies, daddy, oh, I would smuggle me a couple, you know what I'm saying? I put some in a little plastic bag. Put it by the washing machine and dry next to the clean and maybe the dirty clothes. I don't know. I didn't care because the cookies were secure and wrapped up real good. Kept it tucked away because I knew if all my cousins get to it before I do, I ain't going to get nan nutter. But sure enough, the black man always kept him an extra store of cookies, you know, all while eating a couple while they was all sitting out there. Oh, I was a genius, you know what I'm saying, when it came to
I was
going to
just say that. No offense to my brother, but you are a genius. You need to start wearing a cap and gown with polka dots on it.
There we go. And maybe reciting some poetry. Hey, I mean, throwing Frisbees out there to the kids. The kids love Frisbees, you know what I'm saying.
Make them throw some of Grandma's cookies out instead of Frisbees.
There we go. Well, wait a minute. If I do that, I ain't going to have no cookies for the goat. Ain't no way we can do
good,
that.
That's a good point. We'll have to just make extra cookies, and I'll just keep the extra cookies with me so nothing happens to them.
There we go. Deal. Sounds like a deal. Okay, now, and then who?
Hey, Coco, where the heck are we? We're not even away. Where this show supposed to be about the Survivor Series?
Oh, yeah, Survivor Series. See, this is what happens, guys, when you're good friends get together and we ain't worked together in not a long time. We got to catch up on some stuff. But see, it's still sitting around Survivor Series because what I failed to mention is that Survivor Series is on and playing, Daddy. But we had to eat. You know what I'm saying? We still had
exactly.
to eat. So, you know, the food was still hot and piping and going, you know, but them cookies still stole some memory because while I was sitting there watching the Nasty Boys going one-on-one with the Bushwhackers and the Rockers and all of them, I said, let me get some cookies real quick. Oh, and I couldn't stand the Beverly Brothers, by the way. I just was never a fan of the Beverly Brothers. Never liked them. But their theme music is phenomenal. Go back and listen to the Beverly Brothers theme music. Underrated and slept on. But anywho, I just want to throw it back to you, Brother Ghost. You got any other good memories of Survivor Series or certain moments or maybe a certain wrestler you just like seeing at the Survivor Series?
Well, I was kind of just going through my own history chronologically, and then, you know, we did the 80. I wasn't in the 1990 Survivor Series, and I'm not exactly sure why. I was yelling at the Ultimate Warrior, I think, but that's about all I did. And by that time, I had given way to my the evil side of my personality, and I had become the Macho King.
Oh, I remember
King.
That.
Man, he exists now in a different, like an antimatter universe from myself. We're like two different people now. But anyway, yeah, I was a bad guy, and I led my own royal court in there to beat up, once again, who a guy used to be my friend, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and the guy you were just talking about, Bret Hart, years before the screw job. So, yeah, I ended up winning that one with the Canadian Earthquake and Dino Bravo. That's quite a combination right there. Look at those guys. What the heck was up with Dino Bravo's hair?
Hey, I mean, he just said, hey, blondes having more fun. So he said, why don't I go ahead and live that instead of just talking about it? So that's exactly what he did. And he was a strong man.
To get more attention when you're on stage with Kayfabe the People's Band next Saturday and into the future, would you ever consider dyeing your hair blonde? Maybe like a natural Butch Reed or a gold standard Sheldon Benjamin.
Oh.
What do you got going there?
Ooh. Oh, Brother Ghost, see, that's your problem. See, you being such a ghost, you can float in and out around people's minds using all that mental telepathy and freaking out. Man, I was just getting through telling my beautiful bride, the Khaleesia Kayfabe Sensational Sweet Denny, hey, I just might color that hair, mama, like you've been campaigning for me to do. I just might. I don't know, though, because here's the thing. The black man loves to wear hats to his show. You know what I'm saying? He loves to wear hats when he's performing. He loves to wear hats when he's on the worldwide internet through Facebook Live and all other forms of social media. So I don't know how well that will come together and I color up these beautiful curly locks, you know what I'm saying, the soul glow and all that. I don't know if I want to ruin it and get in the way. So that's going to be kind of like a game day decision, you know what I'm saying. That just might happen. But I can't make you no promises, Brother Ghost. But if I do...
Well, yeah. Well, you know, if the sensational Sweet Denny wants some blonde hair there, how about she dyes her hair blonde? Let's see that.
Well, actually,
I bet if you mention that, she'll stop asking you.
Oh, but let me tell you this. Oh, no, no, no. Don't threaten her with a good time. She's into that kind of stuff. She's thinking about changing her hair, blue, green, purple, pink. I mean, she got a whole unicorn convention going on in that beautiful hair of hers. So she's already game planning. I don't know what's going to happen next, Brother Ghost, but it's going to be a Donnybrook. I promise you this. If I do change my hair, I'm going to get pictures, Daddy, and I'm going to send it to you. Just so you know, it was real, and I'm not just making this up. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, kayfabe is real, Daddy, and people are fake. You feel my saying?
Oh, man. Well, you better get pictures and video just like you were performing over the summertime. You got to get some pictures and video and post them so everybody can see. But once again, Coco, we stopped where we were out in the middle of nowhere to come back to Survivor Series, and then all of a sudden we're back out in the middle of nowhere talking about hair color.
Hey, I mean, you know, that's just how we get down, Daddy. But we're having a good time, and I think people listening is having a mighty good time. So with that being said, we're just going to keep this show rolling. We got still just enough time. We got about a little more than 15 minutes left, which is plenty to talk about. You know what I'm saying? We still got our mind on the Survivor Series. Let me give you one more good memory of mine. What was that, 1998, I believe, and Survivor Series for the first time took a chance, took a break in the tradition of the four-man tag team format, if I recall correctly. If you remember, there was a Deadly Games tournament for the WWF championship belt, you know what I'm saying? And in that tournament, you had all kind of folk in there. You had Stone Cold. You had the Big Boss Man. And the side note, Big Boss Man, underrated big guy. I mean, for him to be 300 and 400 pounds, he could move like a gazelle. Then you had Mick Foley or Mankind. Then you had The Rock. And you had a couple more people in it. And then the way that whole Survivor Series transpired was that The Rock sold out to the evil one, Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the chairman, Mr. Kennedy, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I'm stumbling over my words. That's how excited I am, Brother Ghost.
I forgot about that one. I was already gone at that point. I was celebrating Halloween Havoc in WCW. But I remember that was a very good Survivor Series. I got to say, I remember that swerve at the last minute. I didn't see that coming.
Threw everybody off, Daddy, and then The Rock just took off as a bad guy and was doing bad things and doing bad things to bad people, saying bad things. Bad words over the microphone, Dad. I couldn't believe it. Like, whoa, Lord, The Rock is saying all kind of stuff. Don't let the babies hear that. He's going to poison their little minds. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you had teenagers talking about strudel and pie and all that other stuff. I wasn't hungry. I was just trying to watch wrestling, Brother Ghost. What was that all about?
That's right. You don't need to hear about food. You're full of cookies already. So I don't know what that was all about. We can't explain what that was all about on the air because there may be some children listening.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the black man, Coco Tweet, loves the kids. He loves the little bambinas, you know what I'm saying? I was in church earlier today working with one of the little kiddos who wants to learn how to play the drums. And let me tell you now, he's already got a little rhythm and pocket on him. By this time next year, he's probably going to be playing for our church. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be on that bass guitar playing right alongside him. We're going to have a good time. And then I'm going to introduce him to the world of professional wrestling and have him watch Survivor Series with us, you know. That's what I'm going to do.
I like it. Good idea. Good plan. I guess we better get moving here. I'm going to give one last memory here, and it's not even Survivor Series. It was that weird year back in 1991 where the Survivor Series kind of didn't actually finish, and it was held over till this Tuesday in Texas. Do you remember that? That's where
I beat the scales
off of Jake the Snake Roberts. So that's a good memory.
Oh,
I beat up Jake the Snake Roberts because he tried to have a snake eat me, but that was that whole weird thing with the title and The Undertaker and Double H and Ric Flair. That was a mess. But anyway, that's a memory I have. And then my very last Survivor Series, I got pinned, so let's not talk about that.
Oh, well, hey, I totally understand. We ain't going to judge it, brother. But, yeah, when you feuded with Jake the Snake Roberts, man, you beat the brakes off of him, cut up his nose. I mean, you went nuts, brother. I mean, that was a wild, wild, wild one. I mean, I could watch that all over again and just go, man, Macho really had it out for that guy. Jake pushed too far. So anyway,
what kind of guy has a snake try to eat somebody and then wraps up a cobra inside a wedding present and delivers it to my lovely bride Elizabeth so she opens it and almost gets venom right in her bouquet?
The twistedness, man. I don't get it. I mean, I guess he thought maybe we was from another part of the world or something. I mean, maybe they do that to somebody's planet or somebody's country where you give them a king cobra. Full of venom. I mean, I really don't understand that. I mean, if you gave me snakeskin boots, I mean, I'll happily take that or a snakeskin belt. But just a real snake with a snakeskin on it? No, I'm not ready for that kind of present. That's not a present. I think that's a lease, a free trip to the morgue. You know what I'm saying?
That's the kind of gift that you ask for the receipt so you can return it. Yeah, I don't like that. Maybe that's part of giving snakes as gifts. I wonder if that's part of Canadian Thanksgiving. Anyway, Coco, we only got just a little over 10 minutes. Should we go through the card, or do you have another memory, or should we go through the card and pick make our picks for who we think's going to win, who we think's going to lose?
Well, okay, let's do that real quick, just with a few of the matches, because then we got one more segment that we're going to deal with, and it's going to be fun. But real quick, I already gave my prediction about the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, and Big E. I think the Tribal Chief is going to win that one by hook or crook. I want to say, crazy prediction, that The Rock shows up, but he only helps Roman Reigns win and hits Big E with a rock bottom with the referee distracted, something to that effect, I believe, personally. I think Shinsuke Nakamura beats Damian Priest, only for Damian Priest to really turn bad, because at this point he's been kind of, in my opinion, maybe flirting with it a little bit, but I think he's going to flip. I'm going to say, in an upset, arguably, Becky Lynch beats Charlotte Flair. 1-on-1. I can see that happening, and I believe this is going to make the case for a WrestleMania Women's Championship Unification match. I believe that's what's going to happen. And then the 25-man Battle Royale. You know what? I'm just going to say it just because I kind of like the guy, but I don't like the guy because, you know, I love the good guys, and I'm really not a fan of the bad guys. But I think that Sami Zayn is going to weasel his way into victory somehow. Either he's going to lose and he's going to sabotage the actual winner, or he's going to weasel his way out of that match somehow or during the match and cheat to win. I don't know how you cheat to win the Battle Royale, but somehow he's going to do that. So that's kind of like my prediction for quite a few of the matches that kind of really stands out to the black man.
Now, what do you think about the tag match, RK Bro versus the Usos? What do you think? The Usos take a lot of losses singularly, but I don't know about this tag team match.
Okay, so with that one, I can see the Usos taking an L on this one, simply because I just think with Brother Riddle and Brother Randy Orton, I mean, that dog on RKO is just vicious, man. He's gonna flip that on somebody real quick. They ain't going to see it coming, and it's just going to be 1, 2, 3. And, of course, Roman Reigns ain't going to be all that happy. I'm going to tell you that now. He ain't going to be too happy. He will be very displeased. But I think RK-Bro, they're going to come away and win that one, and they're just going to move on to the next phase.
I like it. Let's check real quick and see if Martez is here, if he's still out there selling frozen Twizzlers. Martez, are you here? He's not here. He's flavoring snow cones.
Yeah, people want them Twizzlers and them snow cones, Daddy. And they're probably selling frozen Kona dogs. I don't know who eats that, but he's probably selling that too because, you know, Brother Tess could sell anything. I mean, the brother could sell water to a fish.
Now, as far as I say, I don't know what's going to happen here, Big E versus Roman Reigns. I can't see Roman Reigns losing because I don't think he's ever going to lose at this point. But it would be really bad for Big E if he got pinned. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here. Maybe some kind of chicanery. But I don't think The Rock is coming. If The Rock does come, I don't think he's going to – I think he's just going to speak for a couple minutes just to tease everybody, and then he will come back and punch somebody at the Royal Rumble. If that happens, that's what I think is going to happen.
Hey, that sounds very plausible to me. I mean, hey, you are a very wise and all-knowing man, and, I mean, you go in and out of mental telepathy, and you cut through Freak Out Express to make your way back into reality. So you know a lot of stuff. You've been around. You do some things. You know what I'm saying? So I know you're a wise man and you up on it. Yeah, you on the up and up. You fully aware of what's going on. That's for sure. So this last little segment we got. Last segment, Brother Ghost.
Last segment.
This is a game. We're going to play this game. Ooh. This is a fun game, by the way. This game I call If I Could Book It. Can you dig it, brother? You got your shovel? Can you dig this one? All you got to do is say, if I can book it, and because we're dealing with the Survivor Series show, we're gonna do the Teddy Long special, baby. 8-man tag team match player, and if my dad was jumping in, it would be a 12-man tag team match player. The special main event of all main events for Survivor Series. Each of us, we're going to have pick our four-man dream team. But here's the catch. You can't pick the same wrestler that the other two gentlemen picked. How's that sound?
Now are these just wrestlers from WWF and WWE, or are these wrestlers from everywhere?
I'm going to put it like this. Anywhere, from any time, from any era, from any period, baby.
Ooh.
Your top four, I don't care who they are. They could be alive, dead, or they could be like a sentient being like yourself.
Man, I like it. All right, let's see. I get to pick a team. Let me think here. You already picked. Do you know who Martez picked, or is that still his secret?
Well, that's on him. I got mine in mind right about now. If you want me to go ahead first, I'd be more than happy to, because I'd like you to take the time to think through exactly who you want.
All right. Wait a minute. You know what? I think your list is going to be more exciting than mine, so I'll go first because my list is kind of a little close to my heart, I'll say. I don't know if we'll win all the matches, but we sure got it here. Of course, I'm putting myself on that team right there, number one.
Hey, there you go. There you go. That's
and
right.
I'm going to bring in, from outside WWE world, I'm going to bring in my son, Black Machismo.
Oh, man, that's a steal right there, Daddy. Keep on going. I like what you got.
And now, too, also in the world of the kayfabe mysterious, how did this happen? Because I don't remember Elizabeth being pregnant. I'm bringing in my daughter. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to mix it up, Coco, men against women. I'm bringing in my daughter, Bailey.
Holy moly, don't let stop. You brought in Bailey. Oh, this is awesome. Come on, you got one more. Oh, this is a good one here. You making me think now. Come on.
Now this is a good one because technically it applies to WWE, but that's not what this gentleman would be known for. But I know this gentleman. Yeah, I've spent some time with him. You know, inside of War Games, wearing the same face paint, sitting in the ring while he fell down from the rafters on a rope there. You know who I'm talking about?
The
franchise, the WCW. My fourth person is Sting.
Man, that's a good one. That is a winning group, a winning team. And let me tell you now, this is what's going to happen here. Here's my phone.
Let me see this. I know you put a lot of thought into this, so I want to see what this team's going to be.
Okay, so this one is going to be a fun little group, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to think across the times, you know, because I would love to see this team come together. And these some big, strong fellas. So first off, right off the top, because the black man is pretty clear on his love for the one of the all-time greats, the incredible, the immortal. But I'm going to go with Hollywood, Hulk Hogan, baby, the captain of the team. Gotta have
Wait a minute, is that Martez?
Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Is that Brother Taz? He's back?
No. You got the wrong one. It's not him.
Uh-oh. Would this be Brother
Dime? Who's on the line? I just put... Who's that?
It's Brother Day-Day.
Brother
Day-Day? Hey, Brother Day. Sweet Texas Day. Sounds like Texas Day-Day crew. Oh, this is awesome. Listen, you go fill in for Brother Montez, okay? So what we're doing real quick is we are setting up our four-man Dream Team Survivor Series squad. We are doing this Teddy Long style. This going to be a 12-man tag team match player. So the GOAT already picked his folks. Would you mind repeating your phone real quick, Brother GOAT?
I will tell him, hello, Day-Day. I don't think we've ever met before. If we have, I'm sorry. I apologize for not remembering. But here we go. I guess we're meeting for the first time, and we're sending teams to fight each other. But I'm captain in my own four-man team. Yeah, and in the world of the Macho Ghost, if you're not familiar, I've got two children in the world of professional wrestling. So on my team alongside of me, on one side I got my son, Black Machismo, and on the other side I got my daughter, Bailey. And then standing right behind me, the man I know I can trust better than anybody else in the whole world. I could have put my brother on. I love him. I could have put my dad on. I love him, too. But I put on this man, the legend, the icon, the Hall of Famer, Sting.
Ah.
That's the one right there. And by the way, this is Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz from the Rated R 313 podcast. Him alongside with Brother Greg the Mock. Great show. They always make it on somebody every week on a Thursday night, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, Brother Ghost. And when you get some time every Thursday, take a listen every now and again on the Open Talk podcast because they're phenomenal. So with that being said, I'm going to let you go last, Brother Cruz. But here's my phone. And then, by the way, Brother Cruz, this is from any time, any era, any rapper from any company, okay? Your top four. So here's my four. I started off with my main man, but I'm going to go with Hollywood Hogan. Number two, from the land of the rising sun, baby. That's right, because we didn't get to see him in a WWE ring, but he's been everywhere else doing the thing in the ring, and that miss was dangerous, along with that flip, and he's slacking into people in the turnbuckle. I'm talking about the great Muda Daddy. That's right.
Coco, I got to warn you. We have less than a minute on the air. I just got warned over the headset. We have less than a minute.
Oh, look. Okay, I'm moving quick. Then we go on with Superstar Billy Graham. And then wrapping it up at number four, I'm going to throw a young, mean, lean HBK Shawn Michaels. For the proof, 30 seconds. Hit it.
Okay, you're gonna get the tribal chief. You're going to get one of the best soul survivors in the Viper, Randy Orton. You're going to get tonight's man, the 25th anniversary of the great one, The Rock.
Ooh.
And I'm going to have my last one. I'm going to have to go with The Undertaker.
Oh, man. Loaded. This is loaded. Ladies and gentlemen, we got 30 minutes to go before Survivor Series come on. And just before we go, I want to thank everybody for listening in. Thank you, Brother Day-Day Cruz, coming in at the last moment. Thank you, Brother Montez, for putting this together. And, of course, thank you, Brother Macho Ghost, for making your return. And I will catch you at the January 29th pre-show of the Royal Rumble. And to everybody else, y'all have a wonderful night. God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving this week and enjoy Survivor Series. God bless you. Good night. Take care.